If you will turn in your Bibles now to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. And we're going to start off the first 8 verses, but we will cover through verse 11 or 12 this morning. Hear what God's Word says to our hearts. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his younger men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the 2 of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the 2 of them went together. Let us pray. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take this marvelous prophecy and speak to your people that are gathered here today through me. Pray for the aid of the Holy Spirit. Help me to have good recall and passion, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will see Jesus in a new way or just being reminded of what He did for us when He went to the cross. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter contains the 7th and last appearance of God to Abraham. And what a tremendous chapter this is. Here we see God asking Abraham to do something that I'm sure he did not want to do. He asked him to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering unto him. You can imagine how difficult this demand was, that he would sacrifice his own son. His son that he loved so much. The son that God had given him in a very special way. And yet God was asking him to sacrifice him. How could God ask him to do such a thing? Well, I believe there are 2 reasons, 2 primary reasons. One is that he did it to test Abraham's faith and obedience. What greater test of obedience, what greater test of faith could God give him than ask him to sacrifice his son? And yet we know that Abraham had faith. That even if he sacrificed his son, that God would somehow raise him from the dead. You may have noticed he said in the last of verse 5 that we will come back to you. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19, we see that Abraham believed that God could even raise him from the dead if that's what it took. What faith Abraham had, what obedience he had here. And so what a great lesson that we have here, that if God asks us to do something that seems difficult, we can trust God and everything will be okay. But there's a second reason why God made him do this and ask him to do this, and that was to give a prophecy of the coming Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in an amazing way. And here we see the prophecy through typology that just as God provided a lamb for Isaac, even so, God has provided a lamb for us to be a sacrifice for our sin, to die in our place. And before we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us to reflect upon the Lamb of God who shed His blood that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven. Now, I want to present to you this morning three pictures of Christ and the Father and the coming Lamb of God from Genesis chapter 22. And the first is this. We see Isaac, a picture of Christ. Isaac, a picture of Christ. Isaac, I believe, is a type of Jesus Christ in the respect that we shall show you from this text of Scripture. First of all, he was a type of Christ in terms of his sonship. There were several comparisons between the sonship of Isaac and the sonship of Jesus. And the first is this, that both had a miraculous conception. Abraham and Isaac were old. They were in their elder years. She was well past the years of childbearing. In fact, even when she was younger, she could not conceive. And yet God promised that Abraham would have a child by Sarah. And God miraculously caused her to conceive, even in her elder years. It was a miraculous conception. Even so, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. It was a miraculous conception. Another way their sonship was alike was this, that like Isaac, Jesus was the only son. Notice in verse 2, he calls Isaac his only son. You say, well, what about Ishmael? Well, Ishmael was off the scene at this time, but Isaac was the only son of Abraham and Sarah. His only son. And even so, Jesus Christ is called the only begotten Son of God in John 3:16. He is the only Son of God in a very special way. But furthermore, like Isaac, Jesus was much loved. It says that in our text of Scripture in verse 2. And even so, Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the Father loves me. When Jesus was baptized, a voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so we see so many comparisons between Isaac and Jesus. We can't miss the typology. But not only was Isaac a type of Christ in terms of his sonship, but also in terms of the place of Isaac's sacrifice. Now, when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, I suppose he could have sacrificed his son right there where Abraham lived. But no, God said, "You are to sacrifice him in the place where I will show you." And they went a 3 days' journey until they came to a place called Moriah. And that is the place. In fact, it says in verse 3, when they came to the place. And a total of 3 times it was called the place. There was something special about this particular place. And when we look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, it says, "When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." I find it interesting that where Jesus was crucified was called the place. And so the very place where the sacrifice was to take place was very, very significant indeed. You see, God knew that the temple would be built at that very same place. God knew that years later, His Son Jesus would die on that same mountain range, a place called Moriah, later called Calvary, the exact place where Jesus died. And so, the very place where Isaac was to be sacrificed was a prophecy, a type of Jesus. And then furthermore, in Isaac's willingness to go to that place and to be offered up is a picture of Jesus as well. Now, I'll grant you at first, I don't think Isaac knew that he was going to be the sacrifice. But yet he was very willing to go with his father and to do what his father wanted him to do. But at some point, after asking, "Father, where's the lamb?" he probably realized, "Oh, I'm it. I'm going to be the sacrifice." But you know what? We have no evidence whatsoever that Isaac resisted his father in any respect. Now, how old was Isaac at this time? Sometimes we have mental pictures that Isaac was just a little lad, 12, 13, 14 years old. But the Hebrew word translated lad elsewhere in Genesis refers to a young man 16 to 33 years old. Listen, Isaac was able to take on his elderly father if he really wanted to. Isaac could run faster than his elderly father if he wanted to. You know, he didn't have to stay around and become the sacrifice, but he willingly allowed him, his father, to place him on that altar, on top of that wood, and to bind him to that wood. And what a picture we see of Jesus Christ. We read that 6 months before Calvary, that Jesus steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the land of Moriah, because he knew he would die as a sacrifice for us. And then the night before he was to die, he went to Gethsemane. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done." Just like Isaac, he was willing to be that sacrifice. And then finally, Isaac was a type of Jesus in the very fact that he carried the wood of the sacrifice. We read about that in verse 6. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son." I have the idea that the donkey carried the wood up to this point. And a sure-footed donkey probably could have carried the wood all the way up to the place of the sacrifice. But no, Abraham laid the wood on Isaac. He didn't realize the picture he was giving that was fulfilled in the New Testament in reference to Jesus. For we read in John chapter 19 that Jesus bore his cross. He carried the very wood upon which he would be sacrificed as the Lamb of God. What a picture, what a prophecy we have here of Isaac being a picture, a type of Jesus. But not only is Isaac a type of Jesus, but we also see in Genesis 22 that Abraham became a type, a picture of God the Father. Here we see Calvary from God the Father's point of view. Can you imagine what it was like for Abraham? Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Can you imagine the emotions that were going through the mind and heart of Abraham as he raised that knife and as he was fully intent on slaying his own son? Imagine the tears that must have been rolling down his eyes as he was contemplating what he was about to do. Imagine the anguish of heart that he was experiencing as he was thinking about shedding the blood of his own son. How difficult it must have been. How in his own heart and mind he was thinking what David later thought in reference to Absalom. "Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom, how often I would have died for you. Isaac, if it was possible, I would be there. I would let you kill me, not the other way around." Oh, the anguish of his heart. And yet, 2,000 years later, Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified. Jesus, the Son of God, spoke to his heavenly Father in Gethsemane and said, "Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. Spare me, Father, spare me from what I'm facing tomorrow. If there's any other way." And yet God the Father pointed to the cross. "There you must go. There you must die. There you must be the sacrifice for the sins of the world." I find it interesting that Romans 8:32 says that God spared not His own Son, but gave Him up freely for us all. God spared Isaac, but He did not spare His Son Jesus. That's how much God loves us, that He was willing for His Son to die as a sacrifice for you and for me. And so we see Isaac as a picture of the coming Christ. We see Abraham as a picture of God the Father and what God the Father must have experienced as He witnessed the death of His own Son and the agony of His own Son. But finally this morning we see the Lamb as a prophecy of Christ. And to set the stage, let's look at Isaac's question in verse 7. "But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?'" Now that must have stabbed at the heart of Abraham. Where is the lamb? Soon he's going to find out that he's the lamb. He's the intended sacrifice. Where is the lamb? And this is the first time that question is raised in the Old Testament, is an attempt to begin to answer that question in a prophetic way. In Exodus, we see the Passover lamb dying for the firstborn. In Leviticus, we see lambs and goats having their blood shed on an altar of sacrifice. But it's not until we come to the Gospel of John that the question is answered. John the Baptist was the son of a priest who customarily sacrificed lambs and goats and other animals. John had seen his father, I'm sure, offer sacrifices to God. And then when Jesus walked up one day, by the divine revelation of God, John answers the question, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." It's as if John was saying, "Look, there He is. There's the Lamb that God has provided for our sin." And so notice Abraham's answer. In verse 8, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering.'" I find it interesting that the Hebrew word translated "provide" is just about everywhere else translated "to see." To see. And it can be translated, "In the mountain of the Lord it will be seen." And in one sense, that's exactly what happened when God stopped Abraham from killing his son, he turned around and he saw the lamb, a ram caught in a thicket. For the ultimate fulfillment of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the mountain of the Lord it will be seen, was when Jesus died at the cross of Calvary. There the Lamb of God was seen and has been proclaimed for these 2,000 years as the Lamb of God who died for our sins. And so, God provided a lamb as a substitute for Isaac. And this substitute, this lamb was foreseen even before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13:8, the Bible calls Jesus the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Even before God created the earth and man on it, He had already planned a way for us to be saved And it's through Jesus dying for our sins. I have a mechanical watch. It's got all the mechanisms on the inside. And you know what I found about mechanical watches in particular? They tend to get a little off. Maybe a minute or two slow, maybe a minute or two fast. But you know, the designer of the watch has made it so that if the watch gets off, you can pull this little thing out right here and set it right once again. And you know, God, even before He created man, designed it in such a way that even if man sinned, even if man was no longer right with God, he could be made right by the death and sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we come to verse 9 and verse 10, we have a tremendous climax to our story. As Abraham raises that knife to slay his son, suddenly a voice from heaven says, "Abraham, Abraham!" And no doubt Abraham was so excited that a voice stopped him. And he said, "Here am I, here am I." He says in verse 12, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Verse 13, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns." And so we see in verse 13 the provision of a substitute for his son Isaac. What a welcomed sight that must have been to Abraham. Hey, it was probably welcome to Isaac as well, you know. He was probably doing a little celebrating as soon as he was unbound from the altar and they went and grabbed the lamb from the thicket. And by the way, the Hebrew word translated thicket literally means to weave. I have the idea that the lamb was caught in a thorn thicket. And even so, that could have prophesied the fact that Jesus would wear a crown of thorns. And I can imagine them taking that ram to the altar and maybe Isaac giving a hug around the neck of that ram and saying, "Oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you're dying in my place." And as he was bound, Abraham bound him on the altar, and as Abraham slew that ram, and as the blood began to shed, I can imagine Isaac just shedding tears, thinking about that ram dying for him, dying in his place. And what a picture that is of Jesus. Jesus said that I have come as a ransom, a payment in the place of many. Jesus knew that His mission was to be the Lamb of God who would die in our place, whose blood would be shed, whose death would serve as payment for our sin. Jesus Christ was the ultimate Lamb of God prophesied here in Genesis chapter 22. There's a story of a traveler who went around looking for interesting sites in the towns and communities where he traveled. And in one village, he found a public building that had a stone spire, kind of like a steeple. And he noticed about two-thirds of the way up, there was embedded in the stone an image, a stone image of a lamb. And he asked the local people the significance of that lamb in the stone. And they said to him, "Well, one of the workers that was constructing the tower lost his balance and fell many feet to the pavement below. And everyone was expecting that he would be dead. But instead, they soon saw him standing to his feet, brushing himself off. Not a bone broken, just a little bruise and sore." You see, what happened was there was some sheep being led to the slaughter right where the man fell. And he fell on top of a sheep. And though the sheep died, the man's fall was braced and he did not die. That lamb died in his place. And the worker memorialized that lamb that died for him by putting that stone lamb in the spire. Well, folks, that's what Jesus did. Jesus died the death that we deserve. He died in our place when He went to Calvary and shed His blood. And the question is, what are you going to do with the lamb that God has provided? Listen, you don't have to die in your sins. You will die in your sins if you do not trust in the lamb that God has provided. Why walk away without knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven? We're going to sing a song of invitation, and if you're ready to trust Christ as your Savior, we invite you to not put it off, but to repent of your sins and to receive Jesus by faith, trusting in His sacrifice for your sins. So if you're ready to make that decision and commitment this morning as we sing, come on forward and I'll tell you what you need to do. For those of us that are Christians, and that's most of us here, then we ought to always remember what Jesus did for us and always praise His name and always live in obedience to Him. Would you commit yourself anew and afresh to living for the Lord this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this great story, this great prophecy of the Lamb of God, Jesus, who would die for our sins. And in a moment, we'll observe the Lord's Supper, and we'll remember His body, we'll remember His blood that He shed. And I pray, Lord, that You'll speak to our hearts in a very special way. And we especially pray that You would save souls through this message today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our hymn of invitation. It will be on the screen. And if you're ready to make a commitment to the Lord, you come as we stand and as we sing.
Yeah. You're my one.